Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McAree with the News Tribune, and for those of you that like us, you're going to be sad. It's going to be a little bit shorter podcast this week, and if those of you who just listen to us and aren't necessarily fans, you'll be happy this one will be a little bit shorter this week. The reason is they've got that dreaded schedule that says bye on it this week, so that opponent is never one that's fun if you want to have stuff to talk about, but we will look back, and let's first start with Missouri's win last week, 34-12 against South Carolina. What'd you think of that one?
Well, I want to start out saying it's probably not a bad time for a bye.
Right.
for the team. I know the fans don't like it, but team-wise, they probably needed it at some point here. Yeah, the South Carolina game, homecoming looked pretty fun for people.
Sure.
I mean, Mizzou
six sacks will make you happy, I think, when you get those.
Yeah.
Mizzou
jumped ahead 24-0 and just kind of cruised the rest of the way. We saw the offense able to operate on the ground more than in the air, which, you know, the last handful of games had looked like, you know, the air attack was the thing.
Right.
And then rushing was kind of a question mark with, you know, the less occasional, more common daggers coming late in the game, especially from Cody Schrader.
Sure.
But he had his Mizzou career high in rushing last week, you know, pretty dominant on the ground throughout the day. And then, yeah, the defense played fantastic.
Yeah.
Six sacks, another handful of tackles for loss. They were getting to Spencer Rattler all day, especially
right.
on third down. I think four of those sacks came on third down.
Okay.
And two more were taken off the board by penalties. And then an interception too by J.C. Carlisle late in the game, his first of the season, you know. Just a very, very good defensive game. Nearly had the first half shut out. And then South Carolina kicks a field goal kind of right at the end there. Ends up kicking another three field goals in the second half. But,
right.
you know, you're not real worried about it when you're up by 20. So
I guess the main question for me, I guess, is as someone who was there and got to see it, was it a matter of the Missouri defense made Spencer Rattler look that bad, or did Spencer Rattler just not play very well? Combination of the two.
Combination of the two.
Okay.
I'm, as a Oklahoma State alum who was there for Spencer Rattler's first season at OU,
right.
I'm not a huge Spencer Rattler guy.
Sure.
Fair
enough.
You know, I've seen him play in a handful of pretty bad games. And, you know, there was a little bit of holding on to the ball, a little bit of not getting it where it needed to be. But Missouri did a great job at bringing pressure in ways that was able to land consistently, which
right.
is, you know, not something that we've seen from the Missouri defense throughout the year, especially on third down.
So sure.
consistently being able to not only get to Rattler, but bring him down on third down was a big, big sign for Missouri's defense.
Right. So it was kind of, you know, exciting 2 weeks ago when they're like, oh, they're already bowl eligible. And, you know,
yeah.
and now the Tigers are, you know, 7-1 for the first time since 2013 or something. So like a decade, I mean, you know, where you go, this is a great start for them.
And Eli's got 7 wins for the first time as the Tigers coach.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
So
plus, I think that was win number 700 in program history.
Sure.
I think there's a lot of fun side accolades
right.
from that game.
Yeah.
I think that makes them the 33rd-ish program to get to 700 wins. So, great. Congrats.
Right.
You know, that's your 7th straight homecoming win. That's your 5th straight win against South Carolina. Like, there's a lot of, you know, fun extra notes
right.
from that game that are just kind of side things. But overall, a pretty dominant performance that you got to be happy with on the field, too.
Yeah, and up to number 16 this week now. So,
yeah.
And the hopes are that, you know, you hope you don't lose any ground this week just by being off. So, you know, you figure if that's another, and if who knows what happens in front of them this week. So, you know, it's just one of those things where it's just like, okay, it's all in front of them.
Yep.
The problem is, and we won't go too nitty gritty on it, but it is all in front of them from the standpoint of it's kind of a gauntlet over the next couple of weeks. You know, yes, there's a little bit of light at the very end of the tunnel, but if you look at just, you know, that once you come off the bye, it's going to be Georgia 7-0, Tennessee at 5-2, to Florida 5-2, and then Arkansas struggling a little bit at 2-6, especially struggling 2-6 after that 7-3 loss to Mississippi State last week, which unfortunately I watched the vast majority of and suffered through. So, you know, it is you're in fine shape. It's just a matter of there's gonna be a gauntlet to run when you get the rest you need to get ready for said gauntlet.
Yeah. So you can't say what Missouri's done to this point has been a cakewalk, right? Like
right.
the first two weeks, whatever. Those are easy games that you're expected to win. Kansas State, that win's looking less good over time. Kansas State's fallen off a little bit, but still a big win in the moment.
Right.
Very good sign for the program. Memphis, not an incredible team, but not a cupcake.
Right.
And then you open up SEC play with Vanderbilt. So there's no Vandy coming up. There's no South Carolina coming up.
Right.
There's still Arkansas, but that's the end of the run now.
Yeah.
Now you've got the big, big boys.
Right.
I mean, you've played LSU. That was a fantastic game.
Yeah.
And LSU's now the team right in front of you in the standings. You're, you know, really hoping for an LSU loss this week if you want to keep going up in the rankings.
Yeah.
But, yeah, now's the true test that tells you, like, are you a 10-2 team?
Right.
Or are you a 7-5 team?
And I guess it's also a great team for the bye for all, you know, all the reasons you kind of mentioned. But, you know, we're going to let people get healthy. We're going to get a chance to just take a breather. We're going to get a chance to regroup. But it also may be the time where you look at it and go, okay, let's maybe address something that we either haven't done great to this point, where maybe if we put in a week of work on it, all of a sudden it gets better. Or also it might be the time where you throw in those wrinkles where you go, okay, we haven't shown everything, you know, in our arsenal yet. And let's be ready to pull this one out if we need to, if all of a sudden we find ourselves in one of these games and we need something to get us over the hump.
I mean, I think if you're going to do that, it's for next week against Georgia.
Sure.
Right? I mean, that was kind of my biggest takeaway from last year's matchup with Georgia. Very good game that, you know, Mizzou had a chance to win late, was leading for a big portion of the game. And kind of the thought I was having throughout the game was like, oh, look at all these new tricks.
Right.
Like, the pre-snap motion was the one that really jumped out to me last year at that point. Like, the offense had a minimal amount of pre-snap motion before that game,
right.
And then it was every play against Georgia. I would expect there's something the offense has that they've been saving up, knowing that you're going to have to do something weird against Georgia. Because, I mean, Missouri looks fantastic up to this point.
Right.
Georgia's a different level.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
There's a reason they're back-to-back national champs. There's a reason they're still 7-0, and people think they're underperforming.
Right.
You're going to have to do something weird to beat Georgia.
Yeah.
You have to knock them off of what they expect, because if you play the way they expect, they're going to beat you.
Right.
Especially in Athens.
And so, I don't think I have any delusions of grandeur where I see them, you know, winning out and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, just, you know, rolling into the postseason at 11-1.
If you win out at this point, you're a playoff
team. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So I don't think I see that. But I do feel that it's, you know, it's conceivable that worst case scenario, I think you end up 8-4. But I also feel like 9-3 is in play. I feel like 10-2 is in play.
10-2 is very realistic.
Absolutely. So I think that's the thing that's exciting is just, you know, if you would have told, you know, 8 weeks ago, Tony and Kyle, that we'd be talking about the possibility of 10-2, I think we would have been pretty darn stunned that we were sitting in this scenario. So I guess that just shows that this has probably been a fun team for Missouri fans to watch this year, just because it's kind of been pleasant surprises rather than surprises that, you know, you don't want to get.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think on our preseason pod, I set my over-under win total at 7.5 and picked the over.
Yeah.
So, like, if worst case is 8-4...
Right.
That's still, you know, hitting the over that we expected.
Sure.
At the beginning of this season.
Absolutely.
I think 10-2 is very realistic.
Yes.
At this point.
Yeah.
I mean, Tennessee and Florida are both good. Tennessee's, what, 23rd-ish?
Right.
And Florida's receiving votes right now. So you expect if they kind of keep rolling, those will both be ranked opponents. Ranked lower than Missouri, depending on what happens against Georgia.
I think it just strengthens the idea that, boy, oh boy, health just plays such a big point in this. And if you can go, you know what, if we get Luther back to, you know, where he doesn't seem like every week you're holding your breath for a couple plays where you go, what just happened and is he okay? And if we can just get through the rest of the season with the main guys unscathed, you're never going to go through 100%. But if you just go, if we can just lose a minimum of our guys, then all of a sudden that could drastically alter, you know, what if it is 8-4 versus 10-2.
Yeah, absolutely. Which I think is why this is a great time to hit the bye.
Absolutely.
Because like you said, with Luther especially, he spent a pretty good amount of time in the injury tent the last couple of weeks.
Right.
I mean, he's been fine, thankfully.
Right.
For Mizzou, very thankfully. You know, it's never been an extended issue where he's had to come out for the rest of a game.
Right.
But he's had to go in a few times.
Yeah.
Which is probably a sign that, like, they've played 8 straight weeks. They had, you know, what, 4 or 5 weeks of camp before that. Like, they've just been going
for
4 months.
Yeah.
Like, that's a long time.
Yeah,
without,
absolutely.
Without really a break.
Sure.
So an extra week to just get the body right, especially because with him or with Brady or, you know, whoever, it hasn't been major, major issues. It's just like so many dings and bruises that it adds up. So if you get the extra week, you can kind of clear those out and then you're ready to go against Georgia. Hopefully ready to stay healthy the rest of the way. And instead of a 16-week run, you've got a 4-week run. And, you know, maybe you can make something out of that.
All right. I guess any parting thoughts from you other than we haven't touched on already?
Homecoming was fun.
Yeah.
I don't think I got really the full experience without being able to go Friday night for like house decks and stuff, but the parade was cool. Got to spend some time in Columbia in the morning. It seemed, you know, very nice environment. I'm not ready to confidently say it's better than Oklahoma State's homecoming.
Okay.
Without getting the full experience. So I'll hold on to that one. But otherwise, you know, this season's been a lot of fun to cover.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for these last few weeks. I think, I mean, I've said it a couple times, I think 10-2 is very realistic at this point. I think wins against Tennessee, Florida, and Arkansas are very realistic at this point. And considering how Mizzou played against Georgia last year, I mean, that was in Columbia. It's a different environment in Athens.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not expecting an incredible matchup, but Georgia's without Brock Bowers, their main tight end, for I think the rest of the year.
Okay.
And he's been a very key part of their offense. So, I mean, we'll see. They're, you know, they've been without him for a couple weeks now. They're kind of figuring it out how to operate without him.
But, right.
You know, it could be an interesting game. And if Missouri's able to add a few wrinkles that they haven't put on tape yet, you know, maybe they're able to do something against the number one team.
All right. Well, we'll get what's normally the prediction point of the podcast, and I predict we'll have more to talk about next week. So for Kyle McArabi, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McArabi on Twitter at Kyle_McArabi. That's McArabi. Thanks for listening.